But I do want to come back to where we were 2 weeks ago. If you recall, we spent time 2 weeks ago talking about prayer. And that was from earlier in Luke chapter 11. We spent some time looking at the importunate prayer. And so I want to finish this January emphasis this morning again with prayer. That what we look at from Scripture may make us praying people this year. That would be the goal or the outcome of looking at these verses together. And so in Luke chapter 18, we have one of Jesus's parables about prayer. And I'm going to read the first eight verses and then pray. And then we'll talk about this together. Don't be intimidated to answer questions simply because our seating arrangement is a little different. I'm not preaching this morning. I'll be preaching next week. But this morning, I want you to study this text together with me. So Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verse 1. And he, that is Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Father, would you help us? I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us this morning. Give us insight. Give us eyes to see truth that impacts us from what our Lord has taught in this parable. We need your help. And so I ask now that you would help us in our study of your word to understand it, yes, and to be changed by it. So help us now in our prayer lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just prior to this, in the end of Luke 17, you can go back and take a look. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, Sadducees, about the kingdom. And so the end of chapter 17 is Jesus telling them about his kingdom, that how the kingdom will come and what the kingdom will look like. And so that's our main context for Luke chapter 18. I want us to just kind of walk through this and think about, this is a parable, of course, so this is not an actual account. So Jesus is telling a story to illustrate a point. This is not an actual account. One of the ways, I learned this from R.C. Sproul in something we did a few years ago, one of the ways you can tell a difference between a parable and an actual account is that there are no proper names used. When Jesus tells parables, he doesn't use proper names. And so we have here, and also Luke tells us, well, it's a parable. So that's also a key, understanding that what we have before us is a parable. So Jesus, as he is wont to do, uses stories many times to bring across his truth to scribes and Pharisees, to his disciples. And so that's what he does here. So this one's fairly simple. We have two characters. So who are the two characters in our parable, in our story? The judge and the widow. Now, what might Jesus want us to learn by the fact that he uses a widow as one of the characters in our story?
No power.
No power. Good. Thanks, Al. Anybody add anything to that? A widow. Yep, she's impoverished. So as a widow, and again, you guys know your Bible, she has nothing. A little different situation than us today if someone is a widow. She does have time. She has no recourse. What do you think? From the way she approaches this, what's her family status? We know she's a widow. She has no husband.
She doesn't have anyone else.
Yeah, why do you say that, Pam?
Because she's asking him for justice against her adversary. She has no help.
Okay. So it's likely that she has no one. No sons to care for her, to take care of her. So Jesus is picking probably the most destitute example of a helpless person that he could come up with. The only thing less would be an orphan. We know from James that we talk about widows and orphans, and the Old Covenant talked about how orphans were cared for. Obviously, orphans are not going to have an audience with a judge. And so this widow is about as destitute as it gets for Jesus to use an example. Now, he gives us some description of this widow, and I wonder what we can learn about her by what she does. So he says that she kept coming to this judge. Now, what was she asking? Exactly. So, Pam, do you see that? Pam looked at her Bible and answered the question. She was asking for justice. So, what can we learn from that? What was this woman's problem? Do we know details of it? We don't know any details of it. Yeah, there was some injustice. She had an adversary, right? That's not a good word. If someone is adversarial, that's not one you want on your job evaluation, right? So she has an adversary. She has experienced some sort of injustice. But Jesus doesn't go into detail on that. Now, what might we learn from the fact that Jesus just leaves all those details out?
They're not important.
Yeah. So we can do a lot of speculation, but the fact is, that's not what Jesus wants us to focus on. So we have this widow, this destitute, poor woman. She has suffered some injustice. She has no recourse. She has no husband, obviously. Apparently, she has no family members caring for her. She is without resource at this point. Now, a couple times, we hear that she kept coming. And even the judge, when we get to what he says, she keeps bothering me, he says. And he's going to give her justice so that she will not beat him down by her continual coming. Now, what do we learn about this woman's heart, if I can say it that way, by the fact that she keeps coming? Persistent. What else could she have done? What were her options? Okay, she could have been like vigilante justice. She could have taken the law into her own hands. What else might she have done? She could have done nothing. She could have given up. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. What'd you say, Daniel? Okay, she could have just stayed there the whole time. Okay, good. So she had options, didn't she? But what did she do? And what can we learn about her by what she actually did? She kept coming. So she didn't give up. She didn't take matters into her own hand. She kept coming to this judge. Now, Pam's already said persistence. Anybody add anything to that? What we can learn about this woman spiritually? Somebody said something. Determined. Okay, good. So she's determined. She's persistent. You guys? Oh, no. Say more about that. Okay, good. I like that. So there was something, if you guys hear what Debbie said, this woman must have believed that she could get an answer. What do you guys think about that? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are you going to say, Eddie?
He couldn't do something. She believes she couldn't do anything but what she could
do. Okay. Yeah. So she wasn't trying other things. So she believed the only hope she had was that hope. But yeah. But she had hope. So she believed, even though we see what the judge is like, we'll look at him in a minute. But this woman, what Debbie and Alan were saying, this woman believed that she was going to get what she asked for. Just kept coming. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, now think about that in your own experience. Do you persist, to use the word Pam used, do you persist in something that you think is absolutely pointless? No. The right answer is no. Some of you guys are looking at me like, well, is this a trick question? No, you don't. You don't. So, I think Debbie is spot on with this woman. She is persistent. She is determined. So we see that, but I think what Debbie's hit on, there is a heart that stands behind that persistence and behind that determination. There is a heart that this woman really believes she is going to get what she's asking for. And it's that heart that is driving the persistence and the determination. Did you guys add anything to that? Let's talk about our judge for a minute. Not the judge any of us probably want. So, Jesus describes him even as unrighteous later on. His self-description, what might we learn about this man, let's say spiritually, by the way he describes himself twice? I don't fear God and I don't respect man. He slipped through somehow. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And he did it twice, huh, Lucy? Yep. Yeah, the one time he does say he thought it to himself. But then he said the second time afterward. Yeah, so afterward he said to himself. So we get this self-description of him. So why, let me rephrase that. What do you think Jesus might be telling us by this description of this judge? What does he want us to think about? I doubt it. It's a good shot, but I doubt it. Okay. Okay. So you said someone who doesn't care. No, what do you mean by that, Dave?
Mm.
Okay. 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 Yeah. No, I that sounds good. I think that sounds good. Did you guys hear what Dave said? He's setting up a contrast between someone who cares and someone who doesn't care. So, like, yes or no question. Did the widow get justice from the judge? All right, we got conflicting answers. So let's look at our Bible. All right, hang on. You're going too far. You're running ahead of me. But he gave her justice. I mean, as far as we can read the text, he says he's going to. So is that good enough? Alan says it's not. So go ahead, Alan. Ah, okay. Okay, so to what Dave said, he didn't care. So even, what would you say is his motive for giving her justice?
Self-serving.
Self-serving? Yeah. Why do you say that? What's in the text that makes you say that? Yep. Because how was he describing her? So that she'll stop what? Bothering me and beat me down. I mean, Jesus' language is very, very clear. Yes, continual coming. So we have a widow who has zero recourse, no resources, no options, except to keep coming. She decides to keep coming because she believes that she will get an answer and she will get what she's coming for. She's coming to a judge who doesn't care. He has no desire to give her justice because it's just. He doesn't care about God, doesn't care about man. That's really not a good combination, is it, that Jesus sets up for? So let's look at what Jesus says then, because Jesus, and just these parables, and I'm no expert on parables, but verse 6, I love this. It goes, so we step out of the parable, out of the story, and back into Luke narrating. And Luke says, and the Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. So now Jesus is going to teach us what we need to learn. And he set it up in verse 1. You saw that. This parable, he taught them that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So now he starts to explain it to us. Hear what the unjust judge says. So can someone restate what did the unjust judge say that Jesus is calling our attention to? Yeah, good. Thank you, Danielle. And Dave, what did you pull out of that that you just shared with us? Yeah. So this guy gives justice, but he really doesn't care. There's no desire. It's just self-serving. I like the way Dave said that. He doesn't care. All right. So then Jesus goes on. And you guys... And Dave's already led us down this, so I want to clarify for a minute. When we talk about compare and contrast, compare means to do what? Similarities. Contrast means differences. So if we had a softball and a baseball up here, we could compare and contrast, couldn't we? We could compare them. They're both white. They both have probably red stitching. They're both round. So they have those the same, but they're differences, aren't they? There were contrasting sizes, maybe contrasting weights. So what is Jesus doing? And we got to make sure we get this right. In verse 7. So he says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. He's calling our attention to this judge. And we've discerned together that he really doesn't have a desire to give justice. He's just self-serving. And then Jesus says this. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? What's Jesus setting up for us? A comparison or a contrast? A contrast. Why do you say a contrast? Okay, good. Yep. Is there a word in that that stands out to you? And will not God give justice. It's a word that is a hint for us. This is a contrast. And the reason I want to labor here for a moment is because we can really misunderstand things if we think this is a comparison instead of a contrast. So Jesus is setting up this contrast between the judge. And remember, what was the judge's motive for justice? Self-serving. He had no real desire. He did not care to give justice. But Jesus says, and will not God give justice to his elect? It's interesting. Who cry to him day and night. Does that sound familiar? Where have we heard that in our parable? The widow. Not word for word, crying day and night, but this continual coming. Continual coming. And so we do see a comparison there, don't we? There's the elect crying out to God are in some ways similar to this widow. What other ways might God's elect be similar to this widow? They want justice. Okay, good. Thank you, Pam. Persistence. Anything else come to mind? Okay, they have no power. One of the things we noticed about the widow, right, is she is completely without. Now, we don't like to admit that, do we? Because we're hardcore self-sufficient here in rural West Virginia. But the fact is, we don't have resources either. But we want justice, and we want to be persistent. So, we see this comparison and this contrast that Jesus is putting in place for us. Now, if you notice, when we come to verse 8, let me back up. What do you think about, so Jesus' last question, rhetorical question, about God and justice, will he delay long over them being his elect? So say that again, Daniel. Yep. Good. That's a great point. So this judge, because he had no desire, he didn't move with any speed whatsoever. He delayed long, so there's more of a contrast. Now, I wonder if anyone is thinking, maybe, don't answer this question, but I just wonder if anyone's thinking, well, God's justice doesn't seem to be real fast. Think about that for a minute. Now, Jesus changes right as he closes this parable. It's fascinating. Do you notice a change between verse 7 and verse 8 of who is being spoken of? Yeah. Yeah, so you guys see that? He changes in verse 7, and will not God, probably referring to the Father, give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And then in verse 8, I tell you, Jesus speaking, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. That's one of his titles that he associates himself with mankind. Now, we've got to think about this idea of justice. So this unrighteous judge, as Jesus describes him, had no desire to give justice. So by way of contrast, what might that tell us about God? He is righteous, yes. He is just. He desires to give justice. His character and nature, he is righteous and he is just. He desires. His motive is not to get us to leave him alone. God has a heart to give justice to his elect. And to give it, so listen to what Jesus says, I tell you, he will give justice to them, how? Speedily, in the ESV. Speedily. Now back to my question. I wonder if any of us are sitting here thinking, well, I've not seen it yet. I mean, speedily. I'm 60-some years old, 70-some years old. I haven't seen it. This is one of those places, friends, where we have to square ourselves with what God's Word says. So if we just let's just use scales for an example. So over here on this side of the scale, we put, I haven't seen it, so I think it's slow. This is just my personal opinion. And maybe I could convince some of you to join me over here on this scale. God's not moving very fast. Look at the injustice in this world. Look at the injustice in our country with the babies that are killed. Look at our brothers and sisters killed in China or Afghanistan. Doesn't seem very just to me. I don't think it's very speedily. But over on this other side of the scale, we have this God-man named Jesus Christ who says, "Nevertheless, I tell you, he will give justice speedily." Now, what do we do with that? And who's right? Jesus is right. And I said, you're wrong. And I'm wrong. Anytime, if Jesus says justice is coming speedily, and I say, if I'm bold enough to say, you know, I'm getting ready to turn 50 years old and I haven't seen it. Really? Jesus said it's coming speedily. God's time is always perfect. So this is one of those places we have to balance, because we like to assert ourselves many times. And when Jesus says something, well, we don't need to assert ourselves. We need to submit ourselves to what the Lord says. And he says right here, I tell you, he, God, will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, now let's think about where this question comes from. Will he find faith on earth? I've heard a lot of different interpretations of this question. Maybe you have too. In our parable, where might we have seen faith already? Eddie says the widow. The widow. Why do you say that? Yep. And you remember we talked about what stood behind that persistence of the widow. Debbie told us. She believed that she was going to get what she was asking for. And that is what empowered this persistence. Now, how do belief and faith relate? I'll answer this one for you, as I don't want to put anybody on the spot. One's a noun, one's a verb. It's the same word. So what might Jesus be asking his disciples as he tells this parable? Do they really believe? You can say it louder, Eddie. Do they really believe that they are going to get the justice that they're asking from God when the Son of Man returns? So that time frame, what might that tell us about when we're going to see all of this justice made right? What was that? When Jesus returns, the justice will be finished completely. This maybe we'll get to this in the Heaven book. I don't know if he covers the second coming. I don't know what he... But that's what Jesus is telling us. He is coming speedily. And when he comes, he is going to bring perfect justice. And then he asks, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people, God's elect, like this widow, praying with faith and belief that this God is going to do what he says he's going to do? And do you see the whole point of, we talk about this some on Wednesday nights, praying promises? If God says he's going to do it, why do I need to pray about it? I can go play video games. I can spend my time doing something else. I mean, if God said he's going to do it, he doesn't need me to pray about it. Can we draw that inference from this text this morning? No. Because Jesus says he's going to give justice. And he's going to give justice speedily. That's what Jesus says. And yet, then he turns around and wraps it up with, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find people praying with faith, believing that this God, knowing who he is going to bring that justice? And remember back in verse 1, if you just look back in verse 1, the whole point that Jesus is telling this parable, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. To believe, like the widow. It's not a matter of just being persistent. And we know this. If you think about your childhood, There were probably things you just knew mom and dad weren't going to allow. Am I right? Or any children in here? Are there things that you just know for sure you can ask all you want and mom and dad are not going to give in? Anybody? You guys, you parents are a bunch of softies back there because none of your kids are raising their hands. There are things, you know, I mean, I knew when I turned 16 years old, I could badger my mom and dad to death. They were not going to buy me a new car. And so I didn't persist because I didn't believe. But when you believe that something is going to happen, that's what fuels the persistence. And that's what we see with the widow. But will Jesus find faith? Will he find us now to move to today? So today, do we as Christians need to be believing and praying in faith? Yes, absolutely. So what might that look like? Day and night. They were crying out day and night. What might it look like today for a Christian to be believing and praying in faith? Amen. Amen. Yep. Amen. Thank you, sister. Somebody else, you or somebody you know, if you're willing to share, what might it look like to pray, faith, believing, so that when Jesus comes back, he finds faith? Even justice, seeking justice. Anybody? Yep. Yeah, that's good. Yep, draw some other people into that prayer. Believing. Anybody else? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Man, bro, that watch one prayer, that's a whole other sermon, but I'm out of January. So what I wonder, go ahead, Mark. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So you're praying, believing, because you know the character of God. You know his willingness, right? You're not coming to God, well, he probably won't do it. No, you know his willingness. Good. Alan? Yep. Yep. Deborah? Do you have your hand up or are you just stretching, Deb? Amen. Yeah, amen. I heard another female voice back here. Who was it? Oh, St. Sherry. Okay. I didn't pay her to say that. Yes. Gold star, St. Sherry. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so you're thinking about his faithfulness, right? Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Sherry, would you be willing to share if there's anything that maybe the Spirit brings to your mind right now, that a verse or something that might be helpful for others in this room that struggle with those same things? Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't... Yeah, amen. So, and you see how can we know for certain that God has a desire to do something so that we can pray with utmost faith. Sherry just told you. He says it. You find one of God's promises. We did this Wednesday night. You guys, I can explain that if someone wants to know. He will complete what He appoints for me. I can pray that with the utmost faith, believing that that is true. I mean, you go to Romans 8, 28, Psalm 42, 5. I mean, you could go on and on. But yeah, I'm not going to sing it. I might get somebody else to do it. Standing on the promises of God, right? Somebody knows that. I know, I keep looking at Eddie. I know Eddie knows. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. So that's how we can pray with this kind of faith and believing. The judge that we're going to is not reluctant to answer. His heart is desirous to answer those, and He will answer speedily. And even justice for those that are murdered, justice for the unborn that are killed, justice for brothers and sisters that are killed for their faith. We see it in Revelation with the martyrs. He will bring justice. That would have been a good place. Amen. So you guys were talking, and I started preaching, and you stopped talking. He will bring justice. And so because we believe that, we know the character of our God. He's not like this unrighteous judge. We can persistently pray that He would do that. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, it's very much a rhetorical question. Yeah, for sure. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. The more you seek, the more you see. That's good. Kind of sounds a little bit like Psalm 27. So, how might this help us in the future? What we looked at today. Well said. Yep. Because we believe. Good. I'm glad you added that. Anybody else?
Talking about what that faith looks like, what it would look like now. I picture that widow coming continually. So there are other people around her. There would be coming into you, the judge, probably has guards that would, after a while, say, nothing's going to happen. Why don't you quit?
Mm.
It's going to be the why don't.
That's right. Good. That's good.
So that sort of faith is going to be encountered and thought to be insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be thought crazy, but more importantly is there's no cynical speech on that sort of faith. So the agreement about what the world state is, I should not have cynical speech when I'm praying about something. Because if I have that faith, I would know it's taken care of.
Mm. That's good. Thank you, brother. Kim? Yeah, so the justice doesn't come from us. Right? We're not the arbiter of justice. We seek God's justice, and He'll do what's right. That's the just judge of the earth, Genesis 18. The judge of the earth will do what's right. So we can pray for justice. We can pray for justice. I'm just trying to, I don't want to throw out examples that may not be right, but if someone is convicted guilty of killing someone and they get by with it, they only get by with it here because the just judge will eventually bring justice upon them. So I think we can pray for justice, but it's not us. And I think that's the big key is we don't bring justice. But we can pray for God to bring justice on someone else who's done something wrong. Well, I think there's a difference. So you mean like if something happens to you? Is that what you're asking? Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the difference between you can still, and on the website, the sermon archives, I preached one on forgiveness, it's been a few months ago. But there's a difference between forgiving doesn't mean there's no consequences. So someone could steal something from you, and you could forgive them. You could have a heart of forgiveness toward them for that, but they still may face consequences for stealing your car. And there's nothing wrong with you seeking that justice. Does that answer your question? Anybody have anything to add to that?
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's. Yeah. 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 And that's one we don't know. It's just like this is God's elect. We don't know who the elect are. We pray. We pray as though they're coming. Good point, Danielle. Thank you. Yep. Oh, yeah.
So at the same time, pray for justice here in the world. God's justice, the justice of the powers and principalities, mimic that.
Mm-hmm.
Praying for that sort of justice. I hope that I can always remember to pray that He saves that person spiritually.
Yep.
Spares them.
Yep. And justice has been paid. We just sang it. That's the power of the cross. Betty, do you have a hand up or somebody back there? Yeah. Why? Yep, exactly. Can you say that one more time because I interrupted you? Yep. Because that woman, that widow, believed she was going to get an answer, even from this unrighteous judge who did not want to give her justice, and that's Jesus' whole point. God desire to get justice. Alan, were you going to say something? Yep. Nope. And he says, keep coming. Keep coming. Because God's justice, thank you, Pam. God's justice is always perfect. That's what Betty was saying. All right, let me pray for us. If you have more, want to have more conversation, we can have it afterward. And we'll stand and sing together here when the musicians get up here. So, Father, what a sweet word. Jesus, you are the master teacher, are you not? And you have taught us well the character of God. You have taught us well the character of what our prayer should be. And so I would ask that even now you would move in us and stir us by your Spirit to pray, to pray believing, praying with faith, Jesus, that you would find faith when you return, that we would be praying, believing. Give us promises to stand on, as Sherry has shared with us, and expand our understanding of your character, as Betty mentioned. We want to pray this year believing. We want to come with faith, knowing who you are. And we can be persistent because we believe that your character is one that will answer our prayers to bring justice and salvation and all these things that we pray for. So have your way now. Work in us as we close our time together. I ask this, Jesus, in your wonderful, matchless name. Amen. Would you stand, please?
Okay, so this first one's a new one. We were going to do it for Christmas, and then we didn't make it for Christmas. And I was going to cut one, and I can't because I don't know. It's just... I think they're both fitting for today, so...